Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
We exalt you, Father. Let your word come forth tonight in the name of Jesus. Not as I have planned, but as you have decided. In the name of Jesus. I will not say what I want to say. I will only say the things that you have me say. In the name of Jesus. We pray for those who are name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to be here again tonight. Please, can we converge on these two middle rows? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's converge in these two middle rows. As we trust God for, and if you're at the back, just come to the front. Let me use old church style for you. They say promote yourself. And you see everybody running to the front. Hallelujah. Is it on? I don't think it's until we do that. Amen. The Lord is good. I want to thank the Lord for this opportunity. I want to thank the leadership, Pastor Shei, Mommy, Pastor Bello, Mommy Bello, for deeming it fit that we should come and speak the word of God. It's a privilege that we will not forget in our lives. Bringing somebody into this level of grace. It is God who gives grace, but God uses men to lift when he wants to. And we thank God for the lifting that God has given to us through them. I appreciate my friend Pastor Ogi. I thank God for our wives too, for being worthy pastors at home. Hallelujah. And I also want to appreciate you who have made time out to be here this evening. I know that God rewards consistency. And I know that as you come and as we talk the kingdom of God, you know, it's not only when we come and preach on the theme kingdom of God that we are talking the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Everything those apostles were sharing and declaring, they were declaring the kingdom of God. Amen. So for us, as we gather fellowship together, as we hear God's word, it is still the what? The gospel of the kingdom. When it is done out of sincerity, when God's word is shared out of a heart that is passionate for him. Many times we don't hear what those men are sharing, but they said Paul was somewhere for 2 years and he was disputing, and what was he preaching? He was preaching the kingdom of God. And just because of that, people left those meetings and went and did very, very crazy things for God. They left those meetings. I don't know what Paul was preaching for 2 years, but we know that he was there preaching for 2 years, and God wrought special miracles by him, and things began to happen in Ephesus. So all these things that we're hearing, it will do us so much good if these things find expression in our lives. We don't serve a dead God. Our God is not another idol that has no hands. So we have to help it to use nail to fasten his hands. That's not our God. Our God is real. He's true. He's living. And if truly we are serving him, we are going to enter into his things. Hallelujah. We're going to find that these things begin to work in our lives, in our bodies. It will work in every facet of our lives we are experiencing. So we're started talking about God's bigness, God's greatness, his sovereignty. And I think I just quickly have to make this simple clarification. That when we say God's sovereignty, we are not saying that God is the one doing everything. Praise God. Hallelujah. When we say God's sovereignty, we are not saying that when evil happens, it is the doing of God. That's not what we are saying. When we say God is sovereign, we are saying that God is in charge of everything. Amen. No evil happens behind him. He sees it. Though he is not the one who does it. Creation is in a rebellious state. Creation is in a rebellious state. Remember the sin of Adam. So creation right now is in a rebellious condition. So when earthquake decides to happen, whether by nature or by some powers or by anything, it is still playing out its rebellion. But we know that in the world to come, that you and I are looking for, wherein dwelleth righteousness, the Bible says there will not be any of such things. There will be no tears. There will be no... What were those things they listed in Revelation? There will be no sorrow. There will be no pain. There will be no... The curse will be taken away. Okay? So it's the rebellion that we see man exhibiting is what we see creation also playing out. So when it happens, don't ever join anybody to say God is the one doing it. Hallelujah. Are we together? God is not a God of evil. course, there are times he judges people and all that, but don't say that when any evil has happened, don't come up and say God is the one who did it. Hallelujah. So we began talking about that, and then I remember us talking about his throne. And we talked about righteousness and judgment, knowing that the compass for good and evil is God. Amen. It does not exist anywhere else. So when Satan told those people that they would be like God, we understand that he was trying to sell them a cheap gospel. Just like we have cheap gospels everywhere now. The moral compass only lies... Don't let me use the word moral compass. The compass for rightness belongs to God. So whatever God says is right, is right. Whatever he says is wrong, is wrong. Hallelujah. Our laws can say it is right. It does not make it right. It is God that says it is right. But we know that God cannot call evil good. And that is the essence of judgment. Okay? He can't subvert. He can't subvert. One thing we know, God does not lie. The Bible says he's not the son of man that he should repent. There are things that are not in God's nature, in God's character. God will not lie. God will not, in the New Testament, ask you to go and marry another wife. Okay? Hallelujah. That is the property called judgment. Amen. That's the reason. God is right. He has the exclusive right to say, this is right and this is wrong. Okay? But you know human beings can misuse power. The people who made the law and say, this law is 2/3 majority. The same people will come back and say, 13 people are more than 26 people. Hello? That 8 people can overturn the votes of 30 people. Human beings can do that, but God does not do that. Hallelujah. In judgment, he is what? He's fair. Amen. Bible says that if we are unfaithful, it doesn't mean that God will be unfaithful, because he cannot deny himself. So you now understand what God means when God says you should not lie to your neighbor. Hallelujah. When you lie to your neighbor, it's not consistent with God's pattern of life. God has lying, God lying or God being unfaithful means God denying himself. Denying himself is not in the sense of what Jesus said when he said, if any man will follow me, let him first deny himself. No. Denying himself means that you negate your character. You negate who you are. And in physics, scientists believe that nothing is being created anymore in nature. For one thing to be destroyed, another thing must take its place. There must be a balance in nature. Hallelujah. And that when positive and negative, when they hit themselves, there's what in physics we call annihilation quanta. Okay, positive and negative, when they collide, some particles, like an electron and a proton, when they collide like that, we believe that they disintegrate and then they create photons. If you remember that, in Jesus' name, shout hallelujah. You don't remember. Hallelujah. So, God cannot contradict himself. It is impossible for God to what? To contradict himself by virtue of who he is. Not because he's trying not to contradict himself, but by virtue of who God is, God cannot. So when you lie, when you and I tell lies, what we are doing is that we are contradicting ourselves. You are contradicting yourself. It is not in the nature of God for that to happen. And that is why the sin of lying is not accepted. Amen. So, we are going to take it further and talk about the gospel of the kingdom and what it is. Projector, let us read some scriptures quickly so that I can save some time. I'll just speak them. Let's read Luke chapter 10, verse 11. Quickly, in 2 minutes. We are going to read together. One, two, go. Dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Alright, let's take 16:16. Luke 16:16. Let's take this together. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. Mark 1:15. And saying, yeah, let's read together. And saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Let's just read one more. Let's read Psalm chapter 92. The last verse. Psalm 92 verse 15. To show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. That is to confirm that in God, there's no unrighteousness. There's no unfairness. There's no unfairness. He believes in equity. He believes in... That makes him the balance for everything. Amen. That makes God the balance for everything. That is why no kingdom of this world can do justice. No... Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Ijobaye Yoleshe, you know, there's no, that it's the kingdom of God, though they are believing for it in a very, very wrong manner. But that's the truth. There's no human, no nothing. I can imagine that you are the president of Nigeria. You are president over the Muslims, over the Buddhists, over Ekanka, over... Even you as a politician will try not to. You will try to make all those people believe that. Even when you don't believe in them, you also still want to try to make them believe that you are Nigerians. And there's every possibility that there are compromises you will make. Excuse me, how do you handle that? We'll trust the God of Daniel to teach us that one. Hallelujah. So, the kingdom of God is a reality the way Jesus painted it to us. Painted it as, you know, we'll see the kingdom of God as something that we see it at the end of the age. But when you look at the way Jesus painted it in most of the places, you realize that Jesus was talking about post-resurrection. Hallelujah. In most of those places, he was talking about post-resurrection. Post-resurrection in the sense that he said it somewhere, he said, there are some people here who will not see that until they see the kingdom of God come. That was not even post-resurrection. He was trying to show them. And that could even mean post-resurrection. Because they were still alive. John them were alive. Peter them were alive. About 500 people saw him. Alright, so maybe it's not just even the transfiguration itself. Maybe he was still referring to after resurrection. He said it somewhere too that I will not drink of the vine, the fruit of the vine, until I do that in the kingdom, you know, of my Father. Actually, you would think that he was saying, it is in the end of the age. But we saw that after the resurrection, he actually ate bread and probably took wine. I'm not sure. But did all that. So you see that his perspective of the kingdom isn't just an after each thing. He told them somewhere too. He said people will come from different nations of the earth, and they will come and sit down with Abraham in the kingdom of God, and you, the sons of the kingdom, will be kicked out. As a matter of fact, they are still being kicked out. Because many of them have not even believed. Alright. But also, if you look at some other places, so you will see a perspective of the kingdom of God as a period, an epoch in God's program that is also going to come. Hallelujah. But what is important is that the kingdom of God is already here. Amen. Whatever that will culminate into, because the time will come when it will fully, you know, cease things and everything will be under his power and control. But the kingdom of God has what? Has come. Since the resurrection, it has come. So when he was saying, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. He was preaching it since that time. Okay, so at hand means God is going to come down and God is going to dwell with men. And thank God for his spirit. His spirit dwells inside you. His spirit also dwells inside me. So, what is important is that the kingdom of God has what? Has come. But we realize that God, the kingdom didn't just drop, bam. God started it by heralding it, by declaring, by preaching it ahead of time. Are we together? We saw John come, and John began to preach the kingdom, and Jesus also came, and he began to what? Preach the kingdom. Okay? In that place where we read, it was a group of people who would not receive the kingdom, but he told them, he said, even the dust of our feet will testify against you, but know this one, that the kingdom of God has already come close to what? To you. And so you should repent and what? And believe the gospel. And we had already said that the reason why God was doing that, all the rough edges that John said, the prophecy said John was going to come and make, was the hearts of men. It's not the roads of Jerusalem, of Judea, or wherever. It's the hearts of men. Because God needed hearts to start this thing with. And good enough, with all the work, God got 120 that stayed in the upper room. And then he kicks this thing into operation, you know, using 120 people. So all the ministry John did, all the ministry Jesus did, probably gave birth to how many people? 120. Hallelujah. Serious ministry. Serious ministry. So, how many years ministry? And only, I thought in that upper room, with all the people that thronged Jesus and followed him, maybe we should have had, maybe there were other people who believed anyway, but those were the people who made themselves available at that time. And even till now, according to Titus chapter 1, preaching. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But had in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God, our Savior. So, through preaching, he has manifested his word. And Paul said the same was committed to me. So the same is also committed to you and me, that by the wisdom of preaching. That means if you are a child of God and you are not preaching, you are not doing this kingdom well. When I mean preaching, I don't mean handling microphone. I mean if you are not in the business of, he told his parents, he said, why are you people worrying me? Don't you know that I should be in my Father's business? It means that if you and I as Christians are not in the business of preaching and extending the frontiers of this gospel, then we are not doing the gospel any good. In fact, we are of no serious use to God. That is the way the kingdom is going to expand. There is no other way. And of course, we know that some people have said that they are not doing evangelism again. They are going to the throne. Well done. But I know that there was nobody that ever came into the kingdom without listening to an evangelist, whether an evangelist by calling or an evangelist by simply spreading the word. Hallelujah. And so we must correct and adjust. If as children of God we don't do evangelism, then we are deceiving ourselves. Somebody brought you in, you must also bring somebody in. Hallelujah. In fact, there are even dimensions of God we are not going to see if we don't evangelize. There are approvals we are not even going to get from God if we do not evangelize. You don't outgrow it. In fact, you should become better in it. Hallelujah. You should become better in it, become more proficient doing it. You should, your wisdom in doing it should be more. Your boldness should increase by the day. So if anybody tells you that it is not, I know, that is not the ultimate thing. That is not the end. That is not the end. Like some people think it is the end. Just get people saved. That is not the end, but it is a very, very important part. Of, in fact, if there are any pillars of the Christian faith, evangelism is one. If there is anything like that, I'm not saying there is. Okay? Evangelism is one. It's very, very key. Hallelujah. Are we together? So, we must pay attention. But we know that even after you are saved, whatever we are even still giving to you, it is still the gospel of the kingdom. As you are sitting here, you are still hearing the gospel. Hallelujah. What you are still hearing right now as we are speaking to you tonight is what? It's still the gospel. So the gospel is not what you preach to a sinner. It's not the sinner that needs the gospel. I agree that the sinner needs the gospel of repentance. In fact, even we self, we are the ones who need it. Because the people Jesus was preaching to were not aliens. I wonder why Jesus didn't go and start his ministry in Greece or somewhere. He started among the children of Abraham. And John was telling them, he said, people should not keep saying that you have Abraham for a father. He said, bring forth fruit that is meet for what? Repentance. Which means even, in fact, repentance from dead works is even one of the doctrinal foundations of the church. Are we together? So it is still what? Gospel. So, adjust your mind that when you say we are preaching the gospel, we only want to talk to sinners. No. 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 A sinner cannot understand, what a sinner should hear is that somebody died for you and gave himself for you. That is all the sinner needs. Amen. Are we together? That's all the sinner needs. So when you now come in, we now have to start giving you the constitution of the kingdom of God. And that is still the gospel that we are talking about. And so, what do we do with the knowledge? Let me go into what exactly tonight I trust God to help me to talk about. After the gospel is preached and you come in, what are we supposed to do with the knowledge that we have? We know that it is the pleasure of God that we know about Him. In fact, God has invited us to come and learn of Him. He said it somewhere in the prophets, I think in Isaiah. He said, if any man with glory, let him glory in this one thing, that he knows me. So, it has been in the character, it has been in the pleasure of God to invite men to come and know Him. Yes, He shrouds Himself in darkness. I agree with you that God does not cast His spears before swine. But thank God for the New Testament. Thank God for what Jesus did. The Bible says He has made a way for us through His body. And that way is a new and a what? And a living way. And immediately God gave us His Son. At that point, God was no longer hiding anything. Paul said it in 1 Corinthians 2. He said, here, eyes has not seen. Here, you know, he was quoting that scripture from, I think, Isaiah. The eyes has not seen. Here that have not heard. It has not come to the heart of any man. The things that God has in store for those that love Him. He said, but these things have been revealed to us by Spirit. Which means God is not keeping anything behind for us anymore. In fact, Jesus said before He went to the cross, He said, I do not call you servants anymore. So I call you friends. Because servants don't know what their master is doing. Hallelujah. So there's no doubt. There's no argument. There's no restraint. There's no hindrance what do we call it now? There's no limit, no limitation anymore. Nothing is between you and God that is from God that will prevent you from knowing Him. Praise God. God has laid everything bare before us. Just as bare as Jesus was hanging on that cross, without clothes, without nothing, exposed to the elements, to both men and demons and Satan and angels, at that point, He was exposed. That same way, God has exposed Himself. God has released Himself to be known and to be understood. But right now I understand that there are a lot of problems that knowledge is causing to us right now. Because I hope you know that it was a knowledge that corrupted Satan. Hello? It was a knowledge that corrupted who? That corrupted Satan. And like we said, that only somebody like God can sit on His throne. Only somebody with God's make and constitution can sit on His throne. If your heart is not right, you can't dare to sit on it. And if per adventure you even come close to it, that power has, that thing about God has what it takes to consume you and destroy you. Are we together? Are we together? What Satan coveted, wanted to get, you know, you want Lord of the Ring. Lord of the Ring, the three parts. How many of us want Lord of the Ring? I'm not talking about ladies that they have proposed to for 5 years and they have not married them. You know those ones who they are Lord of the Ring. So when you see a lady always carrying an engagement ring, 1 year, 2 years, or Gaffa, 5 years now, you are still carrying an engagement ring. You have become the Lord of the Ring. I'm talking about that movie. There was that ring that was forged at that place, that mountain, that volcano site. And that ring is an evil ring. But you know what? When you see it, you can't, it has the power to draw you to itself. It's evil, but you don't even know why you are going close to it. It's pulling and drawing you. So when we talk about knowledge, what exactly, is there a limit? There are questions. Is there a limit to the things I can know about God? What part of God am I supposed to concentrate on knowing? Hallelujah. Am I supposed to concentrate on one side and be deficient on one side? We have established that God does not want to hide Himself from you because you are now His own child. You are His own child. I discovered that knowledge can make and knowledge can also destroy. Amen. So if you know that it is not a problem for God to reveal Himself to people, I also understand that there are many times that we are so obsessed with that knowledge that we kick the giver of the knowledge aside. When God reveals knowledge about Himself, understand that it is not because there are no better things to do that is doing that. It is His knowledge. Understand that when God releases His knowledge, that knowledge is supposed to serve a purpose. It is His knowledge. Many times we think, I am an ardent believer in New Testament reality. I believe in it because it is true. But I also believe that New Testament reality is a means to an end. It is not an end in itself, because there's a way you can celebrate New Testament reality that you can enjoy yourself. Hallelujah. You can celebrate it so much and leave the God of the Testament aside. I rejoice in my new nature in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. There's nothing like it. these boys are around. Can you help us with the light? I believe so strongly in it. I teach it. I preach it. Who I am in Christ. But I have seen people talk about who they are in Christ until they themselves began to become God. Hallelujah. Until they had no respect for the God of that testament. Anytime we try to personalize the knowledge that God reveals, we are likely going to run into some barbed wire. Remember the instruction God gave to Adam and Eve in the garden. God told them, you can eat of every tree in the garden. He said, but there is a particular one you should not eat from it. And by the strength of that law, by the strength of that warning, they lived in that garden. Only God knows for how many light years, how many millions of years that they were there. Me, I want to believe that many of the fossil fuel that we are now seeing under the ground and all that, many of the plenty of those formations that those scientists come and say they are kinekon millions of years. I want to believe that those things were actually there during those times that Adam and Eve were in that. Because that time was not... Because you and I know that the world is not more than 7,000 years old as we speak. And we know that some of those things can't form within 7,000 years is so small for some of those things to, you know, come into existence. So, we talk about the dinosaurs and all that, and anyway, let's leave that aside. The day they began to see themselves in that, you know, how did Satan deal with them? Satan came to them and said, did God tell you not to eat of any? There was a way, you know, Jesus said that the law, man was not made for the law. The law was made for man. The day they began to see themselves as the center of that instruction, Satan found a way to get them. Because what he told them was that if you are able to eat that tree, that thing, he said you will be able to decipher between what? Good and what? And evil. Remember again when those disciples went out and Jesus gave them power to cast out devils and other, and they came and they were giving testimony, reports. Jesus told them once, he said, do not rejoice that demons obeyed you. He said, but rejoice in this, that your names are what? Listen to me. The joy was there. The writing of their names in heaven was God's gain. Did you get that? Because many of the times you think that because your name is written in heaven, it is your gain. It's not your gain. It is God's what? It's God's profiting. Well, if you go and read Hebrews 12, he mentioned it. He said, when you come to Zion, you are coming to an assembly of firstborns whose names are what? Written in heaven. Jesus said that there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. So most times we stand at that level of demons obeyed us and we are so excited. Just like we can be very, very excited about our new natures in Christ Jesus and forget that you are not the end of it. This kingdom thing, your new nature in Christ Jesus is not the end of it. Hello. God is the one at the end of the spectrum because everything must return back to him. So hear me, Holy Fire 4. Maybe that's the best way I can express it. You can use joy to destroy it. You can use happiness to scatter it. Because we can so much... That's why some knowledges are tearing us apart right now. Because the day you begin to see yourself as the center of it, praise God. Paul said in Philippians 3:3, he said we are the circumcision who worship God in the spirit. He didn't just end it as saying we are the circumcision. He said we are the circumcision. And what are we doing? We worship God in the spirit.
Jesus said in John chapter 4 when he was talking to that woman by that well, he said, God is spirit. He said, those that worship him in what? In spirit and in truth. He said, the Father is seeking such. So all this kingdom thing we are saying is even a seeking by God. Your new nature in Christ Jesus, your inheritance in him, your I cannot be sick, your confessions, your sin will not have dominion over me. It has an end. That end is what we saw in what Paul was writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where he said that in the end, the kingdom is going to be submitted to him. So excuse me. No wonder people who peddle such things, when you look at them in no time, you start seeing themselves. You stop seeing God. You start seeing them. Hear me, I am not, like I said, New Testament reality is true. You have been translated from the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. You have covenant rights and privileges and everything. But hear me, you are not the end of this game. Hallelujah. You are not the end of this game. So, I'm trying to see a way where, after we have been exposed to knowledge, where is the safe ground to start? Because I'm seeing people right now that this same knowledge of God, is so-called knowledge of God, is killing them. It's killing them. Paul wrote about two guys who were preaching that the day of the Lord has already. Paul said, I have handed them over to Satan so that their souls can be saved. I guess they found mercy. Hallelujah. Where exactly? How toxic? What is the extent of toxicity? I see people obsessed by certain teachings. What exactly are we supposed to concentrate on? I see people unduly. I am open to every truth from the Word of God. Each translocation is a truth inside God's Word. I am open to it. Hallelujah. Hello. I am open to it. Amen. Philip was taken from one place to another place. So it means it's not anything strange. Are we together? But I looked at what we call the New Testament, beginning from John chapter 22. As a matter of fact, if the last Adam walked on the water and brought out money from the mouth of a fish and did all kinds of things, what do you think the second man would do? We saw him in the ending part of John chapter, from John chapter 21, 22. We saw him walk through walls. He didn't need to open doors and all that. It means that even in the new, we can do greater than Jesus did in the Gospels. Do we agree? If in the Gospels, in that state, he did all that, it means that in our new, we have a lot in stock for us, which we should not be prevented from exploring as God releases grace. Hello. I am open to teachings on divine healing. I am open. Alright? I am open to when we say God is going to reveal his sons. I know you have had those messages. But I have seen some young people do some right crazy things on Facebook. Snap pictures of them duplicating I saw one holding microphone and say it was duplicated. Hallelujah. And I tried to talk with him on the guy was going, somebody was already yabbing me, so I just moved back.
Because in the first place, they don't even know why God will allow certain things. I don't know if Philip went boasting about his translocation. I am not sure. Because in all honesty, I don't think it was something he kicked into operation by himself. He had an assignment to do. God used him for that assignment. And that was the last we had. Which means that God may need certain things to happen through you. God does things. We can't limit God and say there are things that God cannot do. Alright? But when you are exposed to knowledge, how do you ensure that you stand on safe grounds? But beginning from Lucifer, the first that fell, before even Adam fell, it was still knowledge. I will ascend. Alright? He wanted to be like God. And he kept saying that. And that was coming from a knowledge that he had. That was coming from a knowledge that he had on his inside. So when God comes in his mercy and begins to reveal himself to you and reveal himself to me, I really don't think that you should become selfish about it. Hallelujah. I really don't think that you should now place yourself at the center of, at every point in time when people have put themselves at the center of God's truth, at that point they begin to lose focus. Like Jesus told those men, don't be happy that demons, because it was a new thing. Hello? It was a new thing to them. Peter did not cast out any devil in his life until he met the Lord. I don't even know how many casters of devil there were. Probably there were exorcists. I wouldn't know. But that they went out and they saw demon-possessed people and they were speaking to demons and demons were hearing them. That is enough to start a ministry. That's enough to concentrate on and start teaching. And we find such errors in the body of Christ where somebody picks up just one thing. And when we begin to find people believe that is the only thing that exists in God, then we should know that Wala has begun to begin. Hello? Anytime we begin to develop a mind frame that this is the only thing that exists, or we feel that what somebody else is doing or saying is inferior to what we are saying, then I think we are beginning to dig up something. I hope you know that Paul wrote to us in 1 Corinthians 13 that special knowledge is going to cease. Let's see 1 Corinthians 13. Let's read towards the end. Before you and I begin to believe that we are better than some people, and now abideth faith, hope, charity. Where, okay, but the greatest of this is charity. Is this the last verse? Is it the last verse? Is it? That place that talks about whether it's prophecy, whether it's... That, help me look for that verse. Is it not in 1 Corinthians 13? Verse 9. Verse 9. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. 10. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part will be done away. That's still not the verse I am... Start from 8. Let's see. This is what I'm looking for. Say, charity never faileth, but whether there be what? They shall. Whether there be what?
They shall, whether there be what? It shall what? It shall vanish away. Hallelujah. So if they are telling us that it shall vanish away, don't you think we need to be careful when we handle knowledge? Hallelujah. I don't want the knowledge of, I don't want to be corrupted by, Paul said it somewhere. He said, so that I will not be puffed off by the abundance of revelation. He said a minister of Satan was what? An agent of Satan was sent to do what? To buffet me. If they did that to Paul, I think we need to be careful too. And I think the reason why many of us will not even walk in their book, if any hindrance at all, this can be an hindrance to learning God. Because God will only release himself as a matter of trust. Remember Hebrews chapter 6, it talked about those who had fulfilled certain conditions and yet they turned back. God had taken them into certain levels and dimensions of himself, and then the default. Paul said it is impossible to what? To bring them back. This message is not only going to be useful for today, it's going to be useful for future. Because anytime I see that you are becoming so over convinced of the things you think you know, such that you put down and make other things of less importance, then I start developing cold feet towards you. I'm serious. I start developing cold feet towards you. Because what God revealed to you, you are not the end of it. You are not. This matter of the kingdom, O Jewel, is bigger than you. Hallelujah. It is bigger than you. It is bigger than me. God is the one who is going to profit at the end of the day. Remember I said that I would not, when I send out my word, it shall accomplish the purpose for which I sent it. God is a businessman. When he sows his word, he is going to get something back. So when he told those men that rejoice that your names are written in heaven, it is not that praise God, hallelujah, I will enter heaven. It's not a matter of you entering heaven. Sometimes we make fun of people who think that the goal of the Christian faith is to enter heaven. We too, anytime we sit down with the things we think we have known, and we think that if you look at it, we are not different from them. Anytime you don't see God unveiling himself in the big picture, anytime kingdom people will not think this in hands with them. That's the truth. Because it is the gospel of the kingdom. If you are truly a kingdom person, you will never see yourself. Fine, we rejoice, like I said. Paul said we rejoice. We rejoice in these things. We rejoice in the things that God has done for us. We take them with every joy, every iota of reception on our inside. We accept it and take these things. And as long as we are still in this time frame, those things are useful to us. We make use of them. We take advantage of them and all that. But we also know that whatever God releases is still for him. God is not a waster. Hallelujah. That's why when a man makes a mess of what God is doing, God leaves him aside and picks up, allows somebody else. You remember that popular word, rather for God to change his mind. What will he do? He will change man, because he himself has, we don't know that God needs, yet we know God has plenty of worshippers there. You know, those people are bowing down, angels are, and all that. But God needs a class of worshippers. Because none of those men has been able to worship God in the spirit. None. Not even Abraham, not Jacob, not all of them. All the worship they did was not in the spirit. How can we know that? Because they didn't have the capacity to embody the spirit of God. Maybe when Jesus went and preached to those who were in those places, maybe we had people. But in the new order, God is raising a class of people who, Jesus said, he said, the Father is seek, asking such. So this kingdom thing is actually a quest by God to seek people who will worship Him in spirit and in word and in truth. So wherever we stand in our workplaces, and look at the epistles. The epistles that Paul wrote, I didn't see much of. After Paul had told us about the realities of the gospel, of what Jesus did and all that, he switches over into love, how you can relate with your neighbor. Sure, we did not read that inside this thing. How you can be better living your life as a child of God. Hello. I thought Paul was going to, in that 1 Corinthians 13, begin to talk about his revelations. But he said, I will not glory in those things. I don't know. That man, we need to ask him questions when we see him. Because we rather glory in the things that God has done through us. He said, I will glory in my suffering. What does it mean to glory in suffering? Hallelujah. It is not normal of human beings to glory in suffering. It's not normal. Hallelujah. It's not normal, but this man said, if it's revelation, there is abundant revelation, but I don't know why he didn't go into those things. He didn't even go into it. I don't know. He didn't give us information. It's possible that Paul had been translocated on some occasions. It's possible. But this man didn't even come. Even the Philip himself, they only gave us as an information to let us know that these things can exist inside God. Are we together? A concentration was given more to how you can live your life to what? To please God. An example is Romans chapter 6. When you read Romans chapter 6, we saw Paul write about the reality of what Christ did, how sin had been dealt with and all that and all that. By the time he got to, is it verse 14 or there, but he began to talk about, therefore, you should not release your body as instruments of what? Of unrighteousness. And began to, he went so mundane to the point of, in Titus, he began to talk about how older women should relate with the younger women, how the older men should behave, how the younger men should behave, how you should not reprimand an elder, rather entreat him in Timothy. He went into those, because hear me, those are the things that will last. We have read it here that knowledge, if you read some versions, it says special knowledge. You say it will go. But the things that will last, can we take time and concentrate on? Because those are the things that can help keep our hearts. I don't know how God, in years to come, I don't know what God is going to place in your hand in years to come. I don't know how deep God will use you and all that. But there's a way that thing can also consume you if you are not careful. There's a way it can consume. Satan can take advantage, like we saw in Adam and Eve, and came and used that big point, that thing. I don't know how he knew that was the time to come, but he waited for I don't know how many years, but he came at some point. And then when it came to the issue of trying to know between good and evil, Satan came, and then by knowledge he destroyed them. Our enemy is lurking. He's, like Pastor will say, Satan will kill you with anything. Hello? It is not the power of God that is corrupting you, but Satan can poison our hearts. Satan can so much poison our hearts that we will not know it. So it will now be written that Jesus said, those that will kill you, they will think that they are doing God service. Please, you and I am also checking my heart too. You and I, don't let us come to that level where we will fight people thinking that we are doing God some service. Don't see yourself as the end point. It's not even special knowledge alone. When God puts wealth, whatever God puts to us, wealth, whatever it is, any breakthrough you get, whatever you get, don't ever see yourself as what? As a matter of fact, when God is blessing you, you should be afraid. Hello? You know, when God blesses us, we dance. The joy is yours.
But there's something God is looking for. Say you are hearing. When God was going to take Israel out of Egypt, he told Moses, go tell Pharaoh, let my people... He didn't just say, let my people go. He added something to it. What did he complete it? He said, let them go so that they can what? Be careful when God is blessing you. Tell somebody, be careful when God is blessing you. Don't think that is, don't think God has nothing better to do. That servant told him, he said, I know you are an austere person. You like to reap where he did not sow. But I think our God, when he sows, he wants to get back. God can be very mean. You know that master did not spare that guy, Koshanwe. He didn't say, oh, it's only one talent to give him. Kodepo. I just feel like God can be mean. Hello. That's why I'm also checking myself. I know that there are things that God has placed on my heart to do that I'm still dragging. Me, I know. And every time I think about it, I fear. I quickly want to go back to them. God can be mean. When he sets his resources into motion, it is for the kingdom purpose. My pastor has told us that everything you see in this Bible is because of one thing. His kingdom. He gives you a car. It's because of... You don't see it now. Do you see it? That's why you are not like an unbeliever out there who feels that Omusha Waye, Tomba Waye. Have you had people tell you that Kiwokluwa Shelaye, Itobawa, To Mari, O Bimo, O Rale, O Koli, O Lumoto, Kiluwa Shelaye? If you're also thinking like that, we need to help you. You need salvation. Some of us still think like that. If God gives you ile and gives you ile, only purpose. If he gives you car, oshekini, only purpose. He has a purpose. So when God gives you knowledge, it is not for your consumption. It is to actually achieve something. And the moment you start putting yourself at the center of it, pray, our Lord bless. A point came when God began to have a problem with Israel. Israel just believed that we are children of the covenant. Our Lord Majem. Nothing can happen to us. God showed them. They went to Babylon. They desecrated them. They went. They didn't be. Jesus was telling them, they told Jesus, they said, we have never been slaves to anybody. That is how proud. So anytime you think that Orielu Parisi, you are treading dangerous grounds. So God's blessings does not end on you. God may be giving you that thing so that you can also bless somebody to be a blessing. God may be giving it to you. Please find out so that when God is blessing you and than just give testimony and roll on the floor. I think you should be looking at it, big God. How can this thing be used for your glory? Anything that happens to you, you get an admission, you buy a jet, a private jet. You are wondering, how can my car give glory to God? I think your car can give glory to God. If people look at the person inside the car and they say, glory be to God, it is fulfilling some purpose. Your life had no meaning. People saw how God turned your life around and made your life something new. And you are a living testimony to that effect, even without talking. And people look at you and say, glory be to God. I am telling you, it is achieving something. That is the best I can think about now. You can achieve much more. Pastor told us about a lady whose hair, they were making somebody's hair. And because somebody came and said, this is your hair. It's fine, no. The lady started preaching the gospel. So it means that God can even give you fine air so that you can save one brother or one sister. Can we be that meticulous? God is a serious person. He is not frivolous. We are the ones frivolous. He doesn't do jokes. Praise God. Praise God. God does not do jokes. It is men who say, you know, the Bible says that
it is a madman that we, he said, you are like a madman. When you carry a weapon of mass, you say, you say something and later you say, I was only joking. Solomon said you are like a madman that is carrying a weapon of mass destruction like Nigerian police and shooting it on the streets. Sorry, Solomon didn't add Nigerian police. I added that one. Hallelujah. So when God's knowledge comes to us, it is for a purpose. It is to serve kingdom purpose. And I trust the Lord that whatever you become, whatever I become, wherever we find ourselves, we must understand that when God says you are his righteousness, it is not only saying you have been imputed with righteousness. It's saying that wherever you stand, you are to prove God right. You are an instrument of God's righteousness. Anybody sees you, they must say, God is right. They must say, God is good. Angels and demons and Satan alike, all of them, when they see you stand, they must see you as somebody that is proving God right. Because anytime God enters into a case, God must be justified. He can never be at fault. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.